say you really, really need to make a phone call, but you keep losing the signal on your iPhone. There's an app for that. And say you've now downloaded so many apps, you're having a little trouble finding the one you want. There's an app for that. Now say your friends are getting a little sick of the constant show and tell every time you get a cool new app. Yeah, there's an app for that too. No, it's the one on top.
And if you'd like to make a comment about that, you're certainly welcome. Yes, you're on Other Voices Live.
What's up? This is T-Dog.
Well, you got a comment you'd like to make?
Yeah, man, check this out. I just finished reading the Bible for my first time.
Good, great.
That's great, man.
Did you come to know the Lord while you were reading it?
Excuse me? What was that?
Did you come to know the Lord while you were reading it?
Yeah, definitely, man. I feel so like,
The Bible says faith cometh... The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Yeah, exactly, man. Well, I think I skipped that part, but that's great, man.
Okay.
Yeah, you know the part... Yeah, the part where the guy comes out with the gun. You know what I'm talking about? It's in the beginning.
With the gun?
Sorry about that.
Did you read the Bible?
Rock. Yeah, the Bible, man. Yeah, I read the Bible. I go to church. It was...
Okay. Where do you go to church?
Excuse me?
Where do you go to church?
York County Church.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And maybe it might not have been a gun. Maybe it was a rock or something. But it's in the beginning, and it comes out of that little room. That's so cool.
Well, I'm not familiar with that, what you're talking about.
It's in the first chapter.
Genesis?
No, the one after that. Super Nintendo.
I think you're reading the wrong Bible.
Damn, man, that was 500 pages.
I think you read the wrong one.
Man, you know where I can get a real Bible?
Yeah, you can get, well, you can get, sure. Where would you like to get one?
You know if Walmart
has
them? At
the bookstore? Walmart has them, sure.
Yes, Walmart, that's where I got mine.
Check them out.
That's where I got mine, though.
Check them out.
I did check them out. I got my Bible from there.
Okay, what kind is it? King James Version?
Yeah, it's the Rick James Version, and it comes out, and it's like 500 pages, and I read the whole thing.
I think it's more pages than that.
Well, I get a whole bunch of them, because, you know, big words and crap.
Well, hey,
thanks. You know what's with the rock? The guy with the rock.
I'm not familiar with what you're talking about. Well, maybe you didn't read the same Bible I read.
Well, what happens at the beginning?
God creates the world and creates man.
After that, a little after that.
Cain and Abel? Cain slew Abel?
Yeah, is that before or after the dinosaurs?
Well, the dinosaurs are in there. Job mentions the dinosaurs.
Yo, I think it was after the dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, with the guy who was out the gun, or the rock, or whatever it was. Maybe it was a spear. Yeah, spear.
Well, I don't think you... there's a couple places in there. But anyway,
yeah, the spear.
What did you learn from the Bible?
I learned that if a Mexican comes behind you and tries to steal your money, you take the rock, which is what I'm talking about. The part with the rock where he throws it.
No, not familiar with it. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Okay, Other Voices Live.
All of physical matter, everything we have around us, is the result of a frequency. And what that also means is that if you amplify the frequency, the structure of the matter will change.
Once you establish the reality we live in, and the nature of what the physical body is, this biological computer, and the nature of what we are, which is consciousness, and then you start, as I have, looking at the way this world is structured and how it works and why they do this and why they do that, it suddenly brings into crystal clarity why the world is structured as it is. Because, you know, people look through their eyes and they think this is the world, but it isn't. It's a tiny, tiny frequency range within an infinite energy field of infinite frequency ranges. And basically, it's like a holographic television channel.
It is the act of consciousness.
Reality is a grilled cheese sandwich.
The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride.
Do you suppose it's real? Hell no! That's not supposed to happen! Maybe it is, maybe it's part of the thing.
News. You said you no longer support the false climate solutions like carbon capture and sequestration. So you think this is something your members can get behind? There have been lots of members of the chamber have been touting clean coal as one of the main solutions that we need for climate change. So you think your members can stand behind that?
We do feel that the subsidies for clean coal that have been given by this administration are completely misplaced. And if the same amount were applied to solid, ingenious solar technologies that we already have, we would see a dramatic improvement over the long term and the short term, in fact. And that clean coal is a technology that has not only not been proven, it basically doesn't exist. And it's just obvious we have to put our money, it's a sane business decision, we have to put our money where the proof is.
Okay, this is I'm Eric Wolfschlegel. I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. This is not an official U.S. Chamber of Commerce event, so I don't know what pretenses you're here. I know some of you in the press world, but this is a fraudulent press activity and a stunt.
Who are you?
So,
really, sir?
If you have any questions, you're welcome to direct them to me with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Who are you really, sir?
And do you have a business card? Are you with the U.S. Chamber?
I do. We can discuss afterwards.
Okay. Can I see your business card?
Can I see yours?
Are you here representing the U.S. Chamber of Commerce?
Yes, I am.
Okay, well, I work there, and you do not look familiar to me at all.
Could I see your business card?
Is this a stunt?
Could I see your business
card?
Are
you interrupting the president?
Yes, I am. And this guy does not represent the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Can we finish the
interview? No. This is not an official Chamber of Commerce. This is not...
I'm on deadline.
Yeah, got it. So they're misrepresenting the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Sir,
if anyone has any questions and wants to talk to the real Chamber of Commerce, you can direct your questions to me.
So are you an activist?
What's your position?
If you would like to have a press conference, you can have your own press conference,
What is your position?
But you can't come in here and barge in and interrupt our press conference.
What is your position?
I don't know what... Sorry?
What is your position at the Chamber of Commerce?
I just spoke my position.
We've got a working
group. What is your title, your official title at the U.S. Chamber?
I'm the assistant to Mr. Donahue.
Okay. This guy is a fraud. He's lying. This is, a stunt that I've never seen before.
How do we know you're
so? This is the stunt.
So, does this mean that the Chamber of Commerce does not endorse, it is not acknowledging the climate change?
Whatever this gentleman here said to you today is irrelevant, it's not factual, this is a fraudulent press conference, okay? He's misrepresenting the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
So what is the position that it has not changed, that it is going to continue to be that there's no climate change, is that correct?
I'm here to tell you that this is not a formal press conference
by
the U.S. Chamber of
questions.
Commerce.
Yes,
we did hold a press conference last week with President Donahue of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Right,
if you'd like to get our position.
Questions for
no,
you.
I'm with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce.
Do you have a
yeah, I do. So if you'd like to actually talk to the legitimate Chamber of Commerce, I've got my business cards outside. This gentleman, I will assure you, does not have any business cards, and he's not legitimate.
So, sir, is the position of the Chamber of Commerce then that climate change does not exist?
So, actually, this sign-in sheet here.
I'm sorry, excuse me, sir. We rented this room.
Yes.
You're going to have to refund us.
Fraudulently.
Also, fraudulently. You know what? Excuse me?
Under fraudulent. It's,
sir,
fraud. It's illegal.
Sir, I don't know
doing,
who you are.
What you're doing is illegal.
You're going to have to refund us. This is very embarrassing for you.
Okay. Anyone else want my business card?
Yes.
Come
would
on
you,
outside,
does this
please.
Does the chamber support climate legislation?
Thank you. There you are. There you are.
Thanks.
Who are you?
I'm Kate Shepard.
With?
Mother Jones.
There you are.
Yeah. Thanks.
Who are you with?
I'm with the
E&E
Daily.
Sorry?
E&E Daily.
Yes, got it.
I'm here. I'm the assistant to President Donahue.
Is there any more behind me you have?
Let's see. Do you have my ID?
No, it's with our interns. We don't bring it with us.
Yeah, we kind of leave it wherever we...
Sir, who are you really? I actually cover the chamber. I know you don't work for the chamber. Who are you?
Well, who am I really?
Yes. What are you doing here? What is this event about?
This event is about what the only sane thing for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to do, obviously. There is no way that a government body or a body with any public responsibility can have the stance that the Chamber has had until now. The statements of late that the Chamber has made in regard to climate science are frankly embarrassing for those of us who truly represent it, and unacceptable. And it's very obviously time for a change.
Right, but you came in here this morning saying you're with the Chamber of Commerce, and you're not. Who are you?
Well, I represent the position that the Chamber of Commerce must take, and the inevitable position that that it must take.
Simple to use, easy to clean up, and safe for all ages, Instant Snow is good fun that everyone can enjoy. First, measure out the Instant Snow granules using the included scoop. Then, add the correct amount of water as indicated on the jar. Before you know it, you've made snow. Instant Snow is non-toxic, non-staining, and tons of fun to play with. And for the junior scientist, Instant Snow even includes an explanation of how it works. There's no safer, cleaner way to bring the magic of snow indoors. One little jar makes 2 gallons of snow, so you won't run out anytime soon. Buy Instant Snow today.
Ladies and gentlemen, due to circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue the broadcast. Evidently, there's some difficulty with our field transmission. However, we will return to that point at the earliest opportunity. In the meantime, we have a late bulletin from San Diego, California. Professor Indelkoffer, speaking at a dinner of the California Astronomical Society, expressed the opinion that the explosions on Mars are undoubtedly nothing more than severe volcanic disturbances on the surface of the planet. We continue now with our piano interlude.
Is it real? is cutting much more deeply than most people realize, that we're not simply looking at some superficial curiosities, but this stuff is erupting from some very deep and very consequential characteristics of the human mind.
Once our brains learn something, it's incredibly difficult to unlearn it or see past it. We have learned that rooms have floors and ceilings that are parallel to one another. The walls are parallel to one another, and they're perpendicular to the floor and ceiling. This is how the world works. We have learned this through years of indoctrination, of seeing rooms that's the way they're built. So our brains automatically assume, without further investigation, that all rooms are that shape. And because of that, when we look at a room that we know isn't that shape, we still see that shape. It's the foundation of all optical illusions. All optical illusions, just like all phobias, are examples of indoctrination. It shows you how incredibly powerful an indoctrinated belief is. Even if the indoctrinated belief is generally based on fact, most rooms are parallel floor and ceiling, parallel walls perpendicular to the floor and ceiling. That's the way most of the world works most of the time. But unfortunately, the brain can't learn exceptions, because the part of our brain that learns beliefs, that forms our virtual construct of the world, is the very ancient, very simplistic reptile brain. And because of this, it makes generalizations, stereotypes, and it puts everything in there. It's also what leads to a lot of our prejudices, bigotries, racisms, and assumptions we make of other people simply because of the color of their skin, their gender, etc. If you meet 50 Hindus, let's say, and they all act a certain way, then you will attribute all Hindus is acting that way, even if those 50 Hindus you met are the only ones on earth that act that way. Because your initial experience, your indoctrination, taught you this is the way the world works. And you project that. Some projections are stronger than others. Some are easier to unlearn than others. But that is the way the brain works. And some are so ingrained in our minds that even when we absolutely, factually know they're false, we still can't see through them. Not only does that form a belief, not only does that affect our thoughts, what we accept, what we don't accept, it actually changed our perceived reality. It can literally alter your reality, your perceived reality, to the point where you cannot recognize actual reality. That's why if you believe in religion, monogamy, whatever your irrational indoctrinated belief is, you think you're right and you can't see past it.
Lend out your hand.
I wonder what would happen if the average American tried to just thought about going through a day where there's no toilet, no shower, no stove, no refrigerator, no running water. Now, I understand the county and the state and others don't want you here.
Right. You know, to this point, they've been trying to push out the homeless, sweep us under the rug, and just try to ignore the problem. But, you know, of course, with the economic situation the way it is, more people are falling through the cracks. More people are having no other options but tent city. So the tent cities are growing. The politicians can't help but take notice, and they realize that the general public is starting to notice that there's homeless people living in the woods of their county, so they're starting to realize that they can't ignore the problem anymore. There's 15 platforms right now in the camp, and it was the township of Lakewood that forced us to demolish.
Why?
15. We signed a consent order last July that we wouldn't expand the camp. Come late fall, I realized we didn't have enough structures to house the wood stoves to keep the people warm during the wintertime, so we had to break the consent order and build the structures to keep the people warm. We built them. We survived the winter. Nobody got sick. Nobody got frostbite or pneumonia. But just a couple of weeks ago, the township said tear down the structures. And but we're looking at another winter around the bend, and it's going to be life-threatening. To this point, the state has never come down into this camp saying, what can we do to help?
So the state doesn't help you. The county wants you out. The local township wants you out. What about the neighbors?
We have no problem with the local neighbors. Never had a problem with the local neighbors, being affected by this camp in any way. And so, I think they're supportive. Some of the buildings in the area are projects, are poor people themselves, and they can understand, how people can end up here.
Boom. Next to the ready-made, relational art is like the easiest art to make that there ever was to make, because on the most primary, basic level, all you need is some eager people, and all you gotta do is, take an activity that people do regularly out in the real world and just do it in a gallery. That's really it. Somehow eating and drinking with strangers in some kind of convivial happening in the antiseptic confines of an art gallery or art institution is really than getting drunk in a bar, having a one-night stand, and contracting herpes. I don't know. I guess because at a bar, you got to pay for a drink in order to be there. So that experience is tainted by capitalism's dirty fingers. But somehow congregating in the gallery to take part in the same activities is a socially autonomous refusal of capitalism. Because we all know that a gallery is an ideologically neutral environment that has nothing to do with the accumulation of wealth or the advancement of global capitalism or any of its sordid sub-practices. That's why the walls are white in the gallery, because white's neutral. It's good. It's neutral. Blank. I can think. That's why I'm here.
Maybe we're doomed to be prisoners in Socrates' cave. Prisoners of a shadow show. The world is representation, the product of our nervous systems, our cultural systems. But here I'm thinking about the media. TV, mass media, social media. The new media. New ways to mediate reality. There's a fake art world.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna
hand
it up for the camera.
So you're gonna pants.
The real fake art world. The fake real art world.
Let's talk about Abby.
The real art world is a representation of an art world. Don't worry about it.
Look at me. Do you like what you see? Good. Because it's not me. It's a recording of me on new Memorex videotape. This remarkable tape has been recorded and re-recorded 100 times, but I bet you still couldn't tell if it was Memorex or me, which really isn't me. It's Memorex. New Memorex videotape. Even after 100 recordings, you'll wonder, is it live or is it Memorex?
Hi, Ed Renfrew for Delos again. If there's anyone who doesn't know what Delos is, well, as we've always said, Delos is the vacation of the future today. At Delos, you get your choice of the vacation you want. There's medieval world, Roman world, and of course, West world. Let's talk to some of the people who've been there. Pardon me, sir. What is your name?
Gardner Lewis. Just got back from West world.
Tell us how you liked it, Mr. Lewis.
When you played cowboys and Indians as a kid, you'd point your fingers and go bang, bang, and the other kid would lie down and pretend dead. Well, West world is the same thing, only it's for real. I shot 6 people. Well, they weren't real people.
What Mr. Lewis means is he shot 6 robots, scientifically programmed to look, act, talk, and even bleed, just like humans do. Now, isn't that right?
Well, they may have been robots. I think they were robots. I know they were robots.
Yes, the robots of Westworld are there to serve you and to give you the most unique vacation experience of your life. Thank you, sir. And you, madam?
Hello.
Well, what is your name?
Oh, my name is Janet Lane, and I was in Roman World.
What is the one thing that stands out in your mind about Roman World?
Oh, well, I think it would be the man. I just feel marvelous. I mean, it's just a warm, glowing place to be.
Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye. And you, sir?
Yeah?
What is your name, sir?
Oh, I'm Ted Mann. I'm a stockbroker from St. Louis.
And which world did you just come from, sir?
Oh, you're not going to believe this, but I've just been the sheriff of Westworld for the last 2 weeks.
Did it seem real to you, sir?
It's the realest thing I ever done. I mean that.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
And you, sir?
My name's Arthur Kane. I've been in the castle. I've had a couple of sword fights and 3 jousts, and I married a beautiful princess.
Is that something you always dreamed of doing, sir?
All my life.
Well, there are some of the comments of the people who just returned from Delos. Why don't you make arrangements to take our hovercraft to Medieval World, Roman World, and West World? Was it worth $1,000 a day? Contact us today, or see your travel agent. Boy, have we got a vacation for you.
Morning, you see?
I do not see. Explain yourself.
I'm afraid I can't explain myself, sir, because I'm not myself, you know.
I do not know.
Well, I can't put it any more clearly, for it isn't clear to me.
You? Who are you?
Well, don't you think you ought to tell me who you are first?
Why?
Oh, dear. Everything is so confusing.
It is not.
Well, it is to me.
Why?
Well, I can't remember things as I used to, and...
Recite.
Yes, sir.
See that? It could be real. Like, happening. Or, in my head. You never know. You never know.
Reality hits you hard, bro.
It's as if reality is so connected that when you look at one small part, you can see things about other parts. The entire whole is contained in the part. And in a sense, you can't divide reality up because we're cutting up a hologram. We can't find where one particle is because it's always a reflection of all particles.
All the drama lovers are still glued to their idiot boxes at prime time. Reality shows are the ones hogging the TRP limelight. Catching celebrities in awkward situations and promising to realize people's unrealistic dreams. Reality TV has not only arrived in India, indications are that it's here to dictate. There's no stopping the TRP meters. Nothing is left to chance. Reality is stage managed and imagination scripted. All aspects of human emotion have been laid bare and shred apart. Contents of these shows may be frivolous. The emotions showcased may be raw and embarrassing. But the success of these shows have encouraged all networks to go for a primetime reality series. These shows are cheap to make, popular with audiences, and for the time being, impossible to stop.
In the astonishing realism of three dimension, with objects coming right out of the screen, so real they almost touch you.
Level of reality, and we search for any kind of method, for example, new technology, atomic power, etc. But search as we might, we cannot perceive the ultimate level of reality using these mechanisms. The ultimate level of reality is fundamentally empty and not observable using these scientific methods.
Science is involved in a perceptual enterprise, not primarily in getting knowledge, though knowledge appears, but knowledge is a byproduct, and by understanding the thing, even coherently, then our contact with it, as long as it is coherent, it shows that our understanding is correct. You see, we must distinguish between correct appearances and incorrect appearances, or illusory.
Reality is a $6 burger.
Of reality is that which persists in all states, waking state, dream state, dreamless sleep state, that one thing that doesn't change, that's what's real. If it changes, it's not real. Right. Obviously, they can look down their body. Well, my body changes all the time. I didn't look this way when I was 10 years old. Now I look this way, so obviously that's part of the illusion. Well, who's having the illusion? You say everything's an illusion, okay, but then who is having that illusion? Who's making that assessment? Saying that's the illusion.
Even in an illusion, there's an element of reality.
Exactly.
Today, young men on acid realize that all matter is merely energy condensed to a slow vibration, that we are all one consciousness experiencing itself subjectively. There is no such thing as death. Life is only a dream, and we're the imagination of ourselves.
Sir, we have no control over the robots at all.
Ghosts are as real as the living. For those of a skeptical bent, when it comes to ghosts, well, there's a lot less here than meets the eye.
The act of consciousness that actually creates the building block the universe is made of. I can't imagine a universe that exists without us, because it's the act of us observing the world around us that is creating, allowing us to create as we go in a participatory universe. We may never find the edge of our universe as we're looking to define what this universe looks like. We may never find the smallest particle in the quantum world to see what this stuff is that we're made out of. And the reason is because everywhere we look, everywhere that consciousness explores with the expectation that something will be there, that exploration, that act of looking, observation, is the act that creates something for us to see. That we are actually building this universe as we go.
Consciousness is the programming language of the universe. We are consciousness conductors. That's what we do. That's who we are. Mm. Consciousness comes through us, it emanates from us. We are the creators. We are the ones who are targeted on this planet because we are the ones who transmit the reality just like everybody else does. If you switch your brain off and you are sucked into the mainstream media illusion, we must understand that we are being used because we create reality. So if we are manipulated in a certain way, and if we are modulated in a certain way, then our creation becomes not ours but somebody else's.
So in his book, from the book Behold the Pale Horse, written by William Cooper, a former naval intelligence officer, in regards to a document concerning the American public, it states, "Diversion is the primary strategy. The simplest method for securing silent weapons is to keep the public undisciplined and ignorant of basic system principles while keeping them confused." And this is what these reality shows are doing. Confused about political, confused about your role. You understand what I'm saying? Confused about religion, confused about politics. It says keep them confused, disorganized, and distracted with matters of no real importance. Whereas the media, MEDIA, which stands for Multi-Ethnic Destruction in America, keeps the adult population's attention diverted from real social issues and captivated by no matters of no real importance. It goes on to say, the schools are kept, keep the young public ignorant of real mathematics, real economics, real law, and real history. Entertainment is kept below the sixth grade level. When you start hearing songs like Laffy Taffy, and these kind of songs would hit your lower chakras and vibrate that negative energy, activating your pituitary gland, releasing those hormones. Now you got grown-ass men making songs for 12 and 13-year-olds.
Jeez, bro.
I.E. Jay-Z. You understand what I'm saying? So the public is kept busy working, and the result is no time to think. And that's exactly what they produced. And they wrote about it inside of a book called The Tavistock Institute of Human Relations, Shaping the Moral, Spiritual, Cultural, Political, and Economic Decline of the United States by John Coleman. Now, John Coleman is the gentleman that wrote the Committee 300.
I have a quick fade on the CRT, and my balance controls don't seem to help me.
Keeping this in real time, switch me over to an online status, and I'll do it manually.
Okay, you've got a 3-millisecond cycle delay, which should be computed in.
I don't know what to do.
You may remember our story about a fellow named Jimaez. He's the guy who put together this so-called reality show, and he convinced a bunch of 20-somethings to take part. They were competing for $50,000 and a job as a model. They really thought they had a shot at it.
This challenge is about breaking your endurance. You want to break your will.
$50,000 on the line, I'm going to do my best.
But as we investigated, we found out a lot more about Jimaez.
The name of the show is Jimaez Model Reality.
Apparently was no $50,000, there was no big network TV deal as he promised, and some of the young folks who were competing in this so-called reality show made a bunch of complaints about Jimaez.
It's on worldwide TV.
Jimaez seems to run out of money, he fails to pay the camera crews, and we hear about this story, we start to investigate, we talk to some of the folks who participated, and they made some rather startling allegations about Jimaez's behavior, sexual advances, things like that. And so we dug a little deeper, and we found out even more about Jimaez's background, that there was a criminal history there, and we wanted to talk to him about it. So we tried to confront him at a luxury apartment in Houston, and he said he would talk to us, in fact. He just had to go to the men's room. Okay, thanks. never came back. So we've been pursuing this ever since the first story aired. Jimaeus surfaces again, and he tells us that he'll actually sit down and do an interview with us. So we're set up in this studio in New York City. I think it's going to be pretty interesting.
This is a real thing.
I'm real. I swear, I grab my crotch, I do that. I'll do that stuff because I'm just me. I'm going to be me, and the rest of the guys are just being themselves. So it's just, that's what we are. We're not trying to add any dynamics to it, but it's real.
These were not created. You know, there was nothing that was pre-scripted or written to impress somebody. People just walking in.
There's a lot of life stories.
It's also enabled reality shows to exist because now it's possible to go through 24 hours of footage and condense it down to 1 hour of highlights in time for transmission the next day.
Of course, the pressure of time and the need to tell a story means you often end up with a crude caricature of real life, a condensed bullet point version of events that can be easily manipulated to tell almost any story you like.
This isn't real.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
Our brains take information in and sometimes give a form. It's not that the picture is out there, it's that we're getting data that we're turning into a picture according to our own belief systems and our own unconscious belief systems as well.
We know what is going on is that light comes in through the eyes, hits the back of the retina, triggers electrochemical impulses which travel down nerve fibers to the back of the brain, where the brain very cleverly, in about a tenth of a second, puts it all together and says, this is what it looks like out there.
Articulated Naturality Web is a complete renaissance in the way we approach technology. Convergence has seen us through to the mobile device, and what we now want to embrace is what's known as computer vision, the ability to see the world for what it is as a scene, and to see the elements within, the floor, the walls, the objects in it. And once you know that, you can relay information very cleverly. A&W allows us to do amazing things. It's going to remove the barriers that currently exist in terms of traditional AR is very flat. A&W is going to bring a three-dimensional element, a virtual universe of sorts that we can take advantage of anywhere we are, anytime we want. By embracing this new virtual world, what we do is we open a door to a virtual universe where our mind is the only boundary.
Science's conception of matter. The fact of the matter is that the substance of the universe is consciousness. Belief that the substance of the universe is matter leads to what I call a fear-greed dichotomy. As people in their quiet desperation attempt to accumulate as many material possessions and riches as possible. In fact, the substance of the universe is consciousness. Therefore, it is behavior that is important.
If you get into the realms of fear, fear is a very slow,
dense vibrational state. And the more you embody fear, and the whole of this manipulated society is globally is structured to make us fear, to make us have stress, to make us worry about tomorrow, and have guilt about yesterday, and forget about now. It brings us into a slow vibrating dense state.
The guns they give you are real guns?
Mm-hmm. Real guns.
That's incredible.
Okay, give us a shift to 197 and take it down to 443. We have negative
acceleration of 22, so long as you maintain passenger comfort.
Sequencing was transferred according to the log of 041.
The orientation on the resort will now begin. Please put on your earphones.
Don't you want to listen?
I heard it the last time.
We should be very careful about what we believe about the future. The more you attach to a belief system, the more, if reality is holographic, you're helping create it by believing it. And, you know, the great clairvoyant Edgar Cayce said that our every thought, that reality is built out of thought, and our every thought starts to build reality, and we're like, every thought is like a spider, we're like spider spinning web, and that web starts to build and build.
Information is the key. Because this matrix, this illusory reality that we think is real, people say to me, what is the matrix? Answer, it's information.
Information.
I mean, that's the equation of metaphysics. The visible world is influenced by a invisible world. And, you know, really there's no difference. You just can see this one thing and you can't see the other thing. But the invisible thing actually has all the power, and the material thing is just a shell that's not real, right? Which is kind of strange when you think about it. What's invisible is real, but what's visible isn't real. Big problem I have with metaphysics is that it sort of does not apply common sense.
Okay, so what you're doing is you're playing a video game with a real weapon. So what you have to do is you've got to find something that you believe is a target. You then must establish that it is a target, and then you decide if you're going to eliminate it or not.
Using the joystick to operate the weapon and the cameras, I can zoom in close enough to see right inside the car. It really is as easy as it looks.
Okay, so now we have what we think might be a target, so we're going to positively ID it and say, yes, that's a target, we would like to engage it. So the way to engage it is we need to know how far away from us it is. And when we decide we would like to shoot, I'm going to arm here.
Uh-huh. Nice, okay. Safe.
Now off you go.
That's incredible. Look at that. How accurate, how smart, how safe. I was able to completely focus. I didn't feel like I had to go look downrange. I didn't have to take my eyes off the target at all. All of that, boom, right into this area. Very clearly identified threat. Very accurate. I think it speaks for itself.
While you are there, please feel free to indulge your every whim.
What physical targets could have an effect in cyberspace? If you cut all the fiber leading into Lower Manhattan, it has an enormous effect in cyberspace on the financial infrastructure. And there are physical targets throughout the United States that are sensitive nodes to support various kinds of infrastructure. After 9/11, we started inventorying those physical locations and making sure that they were now redundant, and therefore you could not in the future attack one or two nodes in real space and have cyberspace magnify the effect and bring down an infrastructure.
Nothing can go wrong.
And secondly, the United States has seen somebody get into its electric power grid and put logic bombs that could bring down the power grid. This is the equivalent of someone in real space laying TNT around power grid facilities throughout the United States, except they've done it in cyberspace. So a logic bomb is something that you insert into the software of an operating system for a network, such as the network that runs the electric power grid. When you then want to bring down the electric power grid, you don't have to use explosives. You just send a signal to that logic bomb, which is waiting to receive the signal. And when it receives that signal, it executes a code that destroys the operating system for the power grid. Without that operating system, the power grid shuts off.
Reality hits you hard, bro.
You better trust who you are and your talents and go with the reality of the moment. Because if you're thinking about it, a guy named Libitz did studies that processing takes a half a second. So if you're processing information, you are a half second behind the reality of the situation. So if you're processing that pitch, it's in the catcher's mitt a half second before you can swing. So if you're processing information, you are a half second behind reality. I want to build on that.
Imagine you're doing music. You need silence to be able to cut it, to make music, to make a beat. If you're making reality, you need space to define the reality in between. So space, reality could be just various resolution, right? Various division of space in a fractal structure example.
Space.
Galileo, way back in the Renaissance, already remarked that nature seems to be a book written in the language of mathematics. This all came after Galileo, so why are we discovering even more and more mathematical regularities out there? What is it telling us? I think our universe isn't just described by math. I think it is math. I think our entire universe is a giant mathematical structure that we're part of. And that's the reason why the more we study physics, the more mathematical regularities we keep discovering. I think the universe is a mathematical object.
Strange as it seems, it's a comforting theory, because if reality is a mathematical object, understanding it might be within our reach.
If I'm wrong, it means that fundamental physics is eventually going to hit a roadblock beyond which we just can't understand reality any better. If I'm right, then there is no roadblock, and everything is in principle understandable to us. And I think that would be wonderful, because then we will only be limited by our own imagination.
That's real.
If you are really great and powerful, you keep your promises.
Do you presume to criticize the great Oz? You ungrateful creatures, think yourselves lucky that I'm giving you audience tomorrow instead of 20 years from now.
Oh.
The great Oz has spoken.
Oh.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. The great Oz has spoken.
Who are you?
Oh, I am the great and powerful Wizard of Oz.
You are? I don't believe you.
No, I'm afraid it's true. There's no other wizard except me.
You humbug!
Yes, it's exactly so. I'm a humbug.
Oh, you're a very bad man.
Oh, no, my dear. I'm a very good man. I'm
just a very bad wizard.
You just heard Reality on the Nothing Is Real Radio Hour, produced by Sam Sebrin for WGXC and Free 103.9's Transmission Arts Programming. This is a special edition created for the Be Your Media Pledge Drive at WGXC Hands-On Community Radio. If you enjoyed hearing this very real example of creative freedom of expression over public airwaves, please consider donating to support Transmission Arts and to help WGXC continue broadcasting our diverse programming. Any amount you give is greatly appreciated. Donate online at WGXC.org or call 518-697-7400. Stay tuned for more real Transmission Arts programming, heard all day and all night every Saturday on WGXC 90.7 FM.